Today is the second Sunday of Advent. The epistle to be read for the second Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 15. Brethren, what things soever were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind, one towards another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, as Christ also hath received you unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. But that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye peoples. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11. At that time, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, art thou he that art to come, or do we look for another? Jesus, making answer, said to them, go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again. The poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet. Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. What went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind. Words taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, last week we began another season of Advent, and thus another new year in the life of the Church. According to a certain spiritual writer, Advent, he says, is the season which prepares us to receive our Lord with the necessary dispositions. In his first coming, of which Christmas celebrations of the Church are the official anniversary, and is an actual application of the graces of the Incarnation. In this way, this writer concludes, by celebrating Christmas worthily, we prepare ourselves for when our Redeemer shall come for the second time. And by these words, the season of Advent, then, is a time of preparation. It is a time during which the Church looks back to the birth of Christ at Bethlehem and looks forward to his second coming at the end of the world. And thus, Advent is meant to prepare our hearts, it is meant to prepare our minds to worthily celebrate the anniversary of his first coming. And by doing so, we are preparing our hearts for his coming at the end of the world, which end, in a certain sense for us, my dear friends, is our own death. Because when we die, as far as we are concerned, the end of the world has come. In order then to have a holy Advent, that is to gain as many graces as possible, so that we are prepared to worthily celebrate Christmas as true Christians, and not as the millions who will celebrate another Christmas unmindful of Christ. We must make good confessions, having a firm purpose of amendment. But beginning today on the second Sunday of Advent, the Church presents to us in the Gospel another model of virtue to imitate in the person of St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist was the precursor of our Lord. And by that I mean his vocation, his calling was to prepare the Jews and the whole world to a certain extent for the coming of the Messiah. And the Gospel today tells us that St. John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to our Lord with a question. The question was, "Art thou he that art to come, or look we for another?" And we know that St. John himself believed our Lord to be the Messiah, the promised Redeemer. It was because of St. John the Baptist that St. Andrew and St. John the Apostle, who were his disciples, became the first disciples of Christ. So John the Baptist already knew, he believed, that our Lord was the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was less than a year after he had baptized our Lord in the Jordan River that he was arrested and imprisoned. And knowing that his vocation and sublime mission as the precursor was coming to an end, St. John sends some of his own disciples to Christ with that question, "Art thou he that art to come, or look we for another?" And he did this not because he personally needed an answer to that question, for as I said, he already believed. But he did this because his disciples were so attached to him that they would not follow Christ. And thus he did this to convince his disciples that they would hear from our Lord himself that he indeed was the promised one. In answer to their question, our divine Savior quotes the prophecy of Isaiah that he knew the disciples of John were familiar with. He quoted this distinct prophecy of Isaiah, which was all about the coming Redeemer. "The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, the poor have the gospel preached to them." All these things that Isaiah had prophesied of the future Messiah, the future Redeemer, our Lord had already done. He had already fulfilled these very distinct prophecies. And thus he was telling them that he was the promised Redeemer. But after the disciples of John departed, our Lord turned to this vast multitude of people, and he asked them concerning John the Baptist, "What went you out to see in the desert? A reed shaken with the wind?" In other words, when you went out to the desert to hear John the Baptist preach, did you see a weak and inconstant man who was like a reed which bends with every blast of the wind? St. John the Baptist was not a reed shaken with the wind. He was not, in other words, a weak, inconstant, an unfaithful man. St. John the Baptist was on fire with the love of God, and he was filled with such a faith as well as a remarkable fortitude. And thus he fearlessly professed his belief in Christ and in the necessity of keeping God's commandments in the midst of a nation that had forgotten its God and his commandments. You know, my dear friends, St. John was arrested by Herod Antipas, the Tetrarch of Galilee, for Herod was living in adultery. Herod was a notoriously impure man, and John the Baptist rebuked him for this. And for this, he was arrested. And thus, he was arrested for defending faith and morals. He was put to death for defending faith and morals. Like St. John the Baptist, my dear friends, we must not be afraid to profess our faith in the midst of a nation that has forgotten the true and only God and his commandments. We must not be afraid or ashamed to practice our Catholic faith, such as praying Our Lady's Rosary or even making the sign of the cross in public. We must not be afraid to defend our Catholic faith when we are put on the spot, nor must we fear to obey God's laws of purity and modesty, even if we are mocked and ridiculed by others. The world will indeed mock us, the world will despise us, and perhaps one day even persecute us and punish us for our adherence to true Catholic moral teaching, especially in regard to the sanctity of marriage and God's laws on purity. Even as she will mock and persecute us for our rejection of their immoralities and the evil perversions that are so promoted today, even by the new church. You know, my dear people, this past week has been a sad and sorrowful week for us with the passing of Bishop Kelly. In my eulogy and sermon at the Pontifical Requiem Mass we had this past Wednesday for him on Long Island, I mentioned the guiding principle of Bishop Kelly's life. And that guiding principle was this: how often he would say, "Everything we do must be done from the point of view of eternity. Everything we do must be done from the point of view of eternity." In other words, how is this judged? This word, this action, this deed, how is this judged in eternity? And thus His Excellency was truly uncompromising when it came to faith and morals, when it came to right and wrong. He was uncompromising. And yet, if you knew Bishop Kelly, he was one of the most compassionate and caring of men. He was always sympathetic to human weakness and suffering. And thus how he sought to console others, how he sought to help them bear their burdens and crosses, to see things in the light of God's infinite wisdom and goodness. But when it came to the Catholic faith, when it came to the Mass, when it came to the validity of sacraments and to Catholic moral teaching, he did not go along to get along. He was uncompromising and faithful to the end. And thus, my dear people, he did not always say things that people liked to hear, but rather he said things from the point of view of eternity. He said things that were for their spiritual well-being and eternal salvation. May we here especially never forget Bishop Kelly and all that he did for us. May we never forget, my dear friends, as well, that we have, by the grace of God, the one true Catholic faith. And if we will save our souls, we are bound to profess that faith and to live good and pure Catholic lives. For in the end, nothing else will matter. He who professes me before men, our Lord once said, I will profess him before my eternal Father. During this season of Advent, then especially, we pray that the divine infant Jesus, through the immaculate and pure heart of Mary, increase our faith, our hope, and our charity, and grant us graces of courage and strength to never be ashamed of him or our faith, to be fearless in professing the truth and in doing the right thing always in light of eternity and according to God's laws and the laws of the church, so that we may always and everywhere love Christ more than anyone or anything and keep his commandments. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.